Amen.
Her name was Jackie. Jackie was the older sister of one of Karen's dear friends. She died a couple of years ago, just a couple of months shy of 70 years old. I'll tell you this, though. She packed more than 70 years worth of living into those 70 years of hers. Jackie was very outgoing. She loved people. Her smile would light up a room when a friend walked through the door, and Jackie had a lot of friends. She was good company. She was extremely intuitive, emotionally intelligent, an excellent read of people, a fun sense of humor, just a delight to talk with. Jackie traveled a lot. She especially enjoyed going with her family down to the beach and out on the boat for some deep sea fishing. She enjoyed artistic pursuits. She freely gave away her work. Some of her favorite things were Elvis Presley, dining out on hamburgers, French fries, and Coke, attending church, and having her nails done in a particularly attractive shade of red, which she was eager to show you when you walked in the door. What you would not have any reason to guess from this description is that Jackie was born with significant intellectual challenges and was not supposed to survive past childhood. She also developed serious physical difficulties as she aged, and for pretty much the entirety of our relationship, something in the neighborhood of 12, 15 years, she was both mostly wheelchair-bound and frequently in pain. Jackie had to have regular help for basic life tasks in the time that Karen and I knew her, which she did thanks to devoted siblings and care staff. But I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jackie was one of the healthiest people I have ever known. It would be easy to look at someone like Jackie and not see just how healthy she was. It is true that she had profound mental and later in life physical struggles. However, her ability to make and nurture relationships, her enthusiastic engagement with the world around her, her good nature and generosity, her deep faith, and her obvious enjoyment of life, not in spite of, but in the midst of the challenges that she faced and of which she was well aware, defy any reductionistic definition of what it means to be healthy. Rather than exemplifying health in many of the ways our society tends to value, particularly in terms of physical capabilities and appearance, Jackie embodied health in a wholer and more holistic way. I believe we all know people like Jackie, folks whose particular difficulties, challenging as they might be, do not eclipse their even more fundamental reality of integration and well-being. Though it is their acute problems and not their greater health that seem more obvious and easily become the basis by which we judge them. Today we are in the third week of our four-week series exploring health from different perspectives. Up to now we have looked at this concept from the views of the medical model, which often evaluates a person's level of health based on the presence and severity of particular diseases and conditions. The cultural models, which can serve to relativize health based on what a particular cultural context deems normal and desirable. And philosophical approaches, which challenge us to consider, among other thoughts, how and why we assign a value to health and what kind of value it holds for us. From a medical standpoint, Jackie had a number of verifiable health problems that needed to be identified, managed, even resolved if possible. I'm so thankful she got good health care. From a cultural standpoint, Jackie did not fit many of the stereotypes of health, such as athletic ability, that we tend to cherish and promote. From a philosophical standpoint, though she was fortunate to have people who made sure she got good care, I can imagine, in fact, many of the programs that she benefited from are ones that we hear discussed all the time about what kind of resources are we putting in to keep people well. So how can Jackie be considered healthy? We will now turn to a theological consideration of health for guidance. In the first sermon in this series 2 weeks ago, I suggested that one of the reasons we as Christians should take health seriously It's pretty simple. It's because Jesus took health very seriously, a fact that he demonstrated repeatedly in his ministry. I shared part of this quote from theologian Abigail Ryan Evans. I'm going to offer it in full now to demonstrate how thoroughly Jesus cared about human health. Dr. Evans writes, "The Christian scriptures record 40 healing miracles in a variety of circumstances. They represent about 1/8 of the descriptions of Jesus' life. First, Christ healed all kinds of diseases and conditions, including fevers, deafness, blindness, leprosy, dropsy, arthritis, paralysis, demonic possession, lameness, and epilepsy. Second, Jesus used a variety of healing methods, medical elements, for example, saliva and clay, physical contact, a word of command or confirmation. He responded to specific requests or healed simply out of compassion. Unlike so many self-appointed faith leaders who develop certain rituals and incantations, Jesus was never bound by a particular methodology. Third, the results of Jesus' healing miracles were spectacular. Disabled people walked, blind people saw, demon-possessed people became coherent, dead people were raised. All ages felt his healing touch." Clearly, healing was central to Jesus' work. And I have no doubt that it had a symbolic dimension to it, as people who were previously limited became empowered upon encountering God's word, God's truth. However, I struggle to believe that Jesus did this just to make a pedagogical point. The people whom he healed experienced true grace, real grace, as they were made whole, as they were restored to the fullness of relationship with themselves, their neighbors, creation, and God. Jesus' dedication to good human health did not come out of nowhere. It was a fixture of the Jewish religious tradition in which he was raised and formed. The Hebrew scriptures are full not only of stories of divine healings, but even more of God's expressed intent that human beings would live healthy and whole lives marked by relational interdependence with God, other people, and the world around them. Given this consistent dedication to human health in the Old Testament, then it might be surprising to hear that there is no specific word for health in the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew word that does encompass human health, though, tells us a lot about what a theologically sound concept of health looks like. We see this in today's reading from Genesis when Jacob asks after his uncle Laban. In the English translation, it just sounds like a nicety. Is he okay? Is it well with him? However, the Hebrew word used here is an important one. Catherine talked about it in the children's sermon. Shalom. So in effect, Jacob asks if Laban is in a state of shalom. Is Laban shalom? Is it shalom with him? As you have likely heard, that's an important word in the Hebrew scriptures, shalom. It occurs at least 250 times. Shalom is often translated as peace, but it more fully means wholeness, completeness, and well-being, with additional connotations of health, security, prosperity, justice, and other constituent elements of wholeness and completeness and well-being. It describes, according to one scholar, the ideal human state, both individual and communal, the ultimate gift from God. Shalom is what God originally intended for all of creation. It is what people were created for. It is what God wills for us, what Jesus came to offer us, and what we in our brokenness are called back to. I'm going to say that again. Shalom is what God originally intended for all of creation. It is what people were created for. We all were created for shalom. It is what God wills for us, what Jesus came to offer us, and what we in our brokenness are called back to. If we take shalom as a touchstone for a theological perspective of health, it teaches us several important points. First, human health, understood within this concept of shalom, is about far more than the individual human being. The wholeness of any given person is significant. Jesus's healing ministry, oriented around healing particular people, demonstrates this on no uncertain terms. However, bringing a person to individual wholeness has the greater consequence of bringing them back into relational and community wholeness, as we see repeatedly in Jesus's healings. In framing health as shalom, Scripture makes the unequivocal case that health is originally and intensely relational. Human wholeness, that is, the internal harmony of physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional health, without relational wholeness, makes no sense at all. Even more, as Old Testament scholar James Bruckner reminds us, human wholeness and thus shalom are fundamentally rooted in a relationship of dependence on God. Dr. Bruckner writes that the Shema from Deuteronomy 6, you know this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Dr. Bruckner says this is the central story by which Israel identified itself, and thus the primary description of what it means to be a whole and thriving human being. Jesus himself preached the importance of this. We know the Shema was central to his ministry, his response to the question of what is the greatest of all commandments, to which he added an additional relational and shalomic component from Leviticus by tying this also to loving your neighbor. So when he is asked, what does it mean to fulfill the greatest commandments? Jesus says that this is how we love our Lord our God with the entirety of who we are, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. All human wholeness, personal and communal, shalom itself is based on a full commitment to the divine human relationship, because the divine human relationship orders every other relationship we've got. Thus, it is key to what it means to be healthy and well. Following on this, and as we've been trying to emphasize throughout this sermon series, I hope we have, a theological understanding of health from the standpoint of shalom teaches us that health is firmly linked to wholeness, which means that health itself cannot be reduced to any one of the aspects that makes it up. Don't mistake a part for the entire thing. This is a constant temptation. Remember, simplification is an honest way of trying to understand a complex issue. But when simplification becomes reductionism, we miss the forest for the trees. Medical, cultural, philosophical, and other understandings of health can be and often are part of this greater theological concept of shalom, but health as shalom can never be reduced to any of these particular understandings, no matter how helpful they might be for us. You may have heard of the theologian, Swiss theologian Karl Barth, widely considered to be one of the finest theologians of the last 300 years. He strongly warns of making personal health or any one concept of health into an idol. He writes, "We are indeed appalled at the many people who look on health itself as a lofty or supreme goal and live for their health alone. Lovingly cherishing their bodies or even their souls and being constantly interested in what is good, less good, or bad for them, they raise such things as sun and air and water, the power of different herbs and fruits, the beauty of a tanned skin, the dynamic strength of well-tempered muscles, and perhaps the possibilities of medical and psychological skill, and even quackery, to the level of beneficent demons to which they offer a devotion and credulity about which they serve with a concentration and enthusiasm that can only show them to be the unhealthiest people." Well, there's no doubt about what Professor Barth thinks. Finally, health as shalom reminds us that putting the story of our health into the context of the greater story of God, what God has done, is doing, and will do, is supposed to be moving us towards something desirable and good. God's original intention for us as individuals, communities, and a creation. I think it's far too easy. I know in my own life it's far too easy for me to understand the pursuit of good health is primarily drudgery and deprivation. Salad instead of fries. Exercise instead of a leisurely morning. Time and money spent with a therapist instead of friends. Proactively tending to our health almost always seems like the less attractive option, doesn't it? When Paul talks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, that can feel like too much. Who wants to be a sacrifice? Raise your hand. I don't think any of us want that. Hard to imagine being a sacrifice. But remember, sacrifices made to God according to the Old Testament are the first and best of what we have to offer. When Paul asks us to be living sacrifices, he is asking us to present our best selves as people who are striving to live into the shalom that God wants us to have. We don't get to this by making resentful choices that seem like we're always giving up something we would rather be doing. No, choosing shalom is making the choices that lead us into the blessing that God wills for us. Health as shalom is not about depletion. It's about completion. It is the ongoing opportunity to say yes to God and God's good promises, a yes that offers fullness of life not only to ourselves, but to our neighbors and to the creation. The Lord created us for shalom, harmonious and healthy wholeness, both internally and externally. It was the sure and certain reality of shalom, so deeply intertwined with God's immediate presence in the garden, that got so terribly damaged when our original ancestors chose things that were not God, deciding that their particular wants and desires were more important than the original interdependence for which God created them. It was due to this rejection that all of the threats to shalom, the chaos of sinfulness and violence, sickness, disunity, all of that came into the world because of that choice. We've been chasing shalom ever since. Even though it can seem so elusive, almost unattainable, shalom is as real now as it's ever been. God has promised it, Jesus exemplified it, the Holy Spirit pushes us towards it. People like Jackie give us glimpses of it. Shalom is in our past, it is in our future, but it can also be right here and now in the present as we seek the wholeness and integration of all that we are, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in the light of our relationship with God, our fellow human beings, and the world around us. Am I shalom? I'm working on it. Are you shalom? I sincerely hope you have real experiences of it in your life. The most important question, though, is this: are we shalom? Because that's the only way we're going to get there. All of us, together, as God intends for it to be. Friends, here we are, servants of the Lord. May it be with us this day, according to God's good and holy word. Amen.